Chapter 4 Emerald and Flame. Seven bloody martyrs, I breathed. I stood slow, hand slipping to my belt, brushing over my sword hilt. The old woman's eyes glittered as her hand closed behind her back, and simultaneously we drew. Her, a bottle of dark Ocean homebrew, and me, my trusty hip flask. Sweet Gabby, she laughed, opening her arms. You wee rascal. I laughed also, catching the woman up and lifting her off the floor. Phoebe raised an eyebrow as I twirled the elderly dame about, my thirst and anger and the danger hanging over my head behind these walls all forgot. Patrons threw curious glances our way, the old woman yelling and thumping my shoulder. Put me down, you great lump. I complied reluctantly, kissing both her cheeks. The dame smacked me on the backside like a disobedient brat. Away with ye. I'm too old to be manhandled such. Never was there a man alive who could handle you, sister, I grinned. The cheek of him? Talking so to a former woman of the cloth. Phoebe watched us, eyebrow arched. This your friend, I take it? Phoebe O'Dunsair, I declared, breathless with joy. This is Sir Fiona, the White Rabbit, hero of Bay Sita, and slayer of more cold bloods than I've had hot baths.
Three vampires? Impressive.
I scoffed, but I was too happy to see Fiona again to quip back. The old dame thumped three fresh cups on the table, cracked the wax on her bottle, and poured us all a stiff dram of a dark, reeking liquid. Lifting her cup, she looked me in the eye. To those who fought, she declared, and those who fell, and those who lived through living hell, I replied. We smashed our cups together, and though Fiona must have been near 50, she matched my pace, slamming her empty down on the table when she was done. Seven martyrs, I coughed. The taste of the black hasn't improved with time. I brew it myself out back. A little taste of home. Takes me back to better times, Fiona grinned, sitting down beside me. We've all seen finer days, Chevalier. Bollocks to that. You're as beautiful as the night we met. And you're as full of shite as ever you were, she laughed. Time eats us all alive. The White Rabbit can never die, I declared, topping up her glass with the reeking brew. You're going to live long enough to see your tits touch your hips, mon ami. Ha! Charm me out of this doublet, I can touch my toes. Phoebe almost choked on her mouthful. You said you're a nun? The old dame looked the dusk dancer over, noting the golden gleam of her eyes. I was a sword sister, Highlander, in my foolish youth, devoted to God and Mother Maid and martyrs. But when I prayed, here she touched her old blade, I prayed with this. Dame Fiona is one of the finest blades in the Empire, I said. She taught me a thing or three in the Ocean campaigns. Saved my life when I was still finding my feet. You got there in the end, sweet Gabby, she said, patting my knee.
Sweet Gabby,
Phoebe scoffed. Fiona grinned.
That's what I called him, before they started this black lion palaver. Little Gabby de Leon, full of spunk and vinegar he was, scowling like someone kicked him in the bollocks every morn, and shouting, Mother Maid, so much shouting.
This was when you served the Nine Swords, Phoebe asked.
My first command, I nodded. Emperor Alexandra commissioned a force to retake northern Oswey after Tolyev and his brood seized the coast. The good sir and I fought side by side for the next year. I smiled, heart flooded with sweet nostalgia. Took back Bay Sita, pushed on to Duncraig, Saithtun, all the way to Treobaile. The minstrels picked up their pace. Folk cheered, but Fiona's face had gone suddenly grim. A shadow fell over the pair of us, despite the music, the dancing and laughter all about. The old dame's eyes grew clouded,
no doubt walking the same streets as I in her mind. Those awful cages, those wretched people. I topped up her goblet to the brim. "And that was the end of that," she sighed. Phoebe looked back and forth between us.
"Were you wounded or..."
"Not in the flesh, Highlander," Fiona replied, refilling my glass. "But after the things I saw at Triobaile, the god in me just evaporated. Young Gabby and his order chums marched on toward glory, and I quietly took my leave. Hung up my sword. Met myself a sweet Nordish man who preferred pouring drinks to cracking skulls and shagging on a Priady morn rather than going to mass. Never looked back. Good thing, too."
Fiona lowered her eyes, her voice a murmur.
"Do you hear about Dunmay again?"
"Only that it's fallen," I replied.
"The Divok took it months back. The Black Heart and his sister."
"How?"
"Mayagen was the mightiest fortress west of Augustin."
"We hear only rumour,"
Fee shrugged.
"Refugee tales. The Divok brought the walls down from afar, out of range of Neve's cannon. Some say artillery, others sorcery. They sank Lady Caitlin's fleet in the Gulf of Wolves, butchered Lady Una on the walls. Lady Rain was killed defending the sepulchre. Three of the Nine Swords' daughters, gone."
I sighed, remembering the girls I'd met at Neve's court. Little Cat with her fierce smile, and Una with her razor tongue.
God, Rain had been barely more than a babe.
"And Neve?" I asked softly.
"She fought bravely, they say, even after her girls fell. But when the city looked doomed, she sent parley to the Divok, that her people might be spared. The Black Heart accepted her surrender, then threw her to his wretched.
Drank her dry, the bastard, then fed the scraps to his dogs."
"Sweet Mother Maid," I whispered. Fiona made the sign of the wheel.
"Take her in your arms."
I was heartsick and afeard at this news.
Neve Mergen was a brilliant general, the veteran of a dozen campaigns against both the living and the dead. For Nikita to have crushed her capital, for Kiara to have taken on the terrors and lived, there was some new darkness afoot with the Untamed, some ill magic I'd no understanding of. And Dior was in the Wolf Mother's clutches, headed right to the Black Heart's arms.
"What brings you here, Gabby?" Fiona asked softly. "What do you need?"
I dragged myself back to the now, finishing off my glass.
"Food, a bed, a horse."
"A wash," Phoebe growled.
"We," I sighed. "A bath wouldn't be unwelcome either, I suppose."
"Well, there we can oblige."
Fiona eyed me up and down. "I'll have one of my girls scrub those clothes too. They look about ready to start walking on their own."
"We'll be gone tomorrow, I swear. If we'd any choice, we'd not be here tonight. I know the Red Watch gendarme must be looking for me. I know you."
"Enough of that," she scowled.
"It's a blessing to see you again, love."
The music changed, shifting to an Ossian jig called The Riddle of the Fiddle. It was a merry tune, as if the minstrels too wanted to banish my misgivings, to brighten my freezing night. The crowd cheered, Fiona clapped, several folk pushing back tables to open up the floor as people began to stomp in time. I was halfway to drunk now, but nowhere near close enough, pouring myself another and trying to hide the fact my hands were still shaking.
"Dance with me," a voice demanded.
I blinked at the outstretched fingers that had appeared before my eyes. Frowning, I followed the emerald glove upward, over a shoulder inked with blood-red fey spirals, and at last into a pair of shadowed, glittering eyes.
"Hey?
You can dance, can't you?" Phoebe asked.
"No," I growled, knocking back my black.
"He can, actually," Fiona declared. "He's excellent. I've seen him."
I scowled at the old sister as Phoebe wiggled her outstretched fingers.
"I love this song, so dance with me. Or are you planning to sit here moping all night?"
"I'm not moping, I'm thinking."
"Drinking?"
"Same thing."
"Dance with me, damn you."
"What's the magic word?"
The Dusk Dancer raised one brow, hand on hip. Now?
Tuss, tuss.
Filling my cup to the brim, I took another long swallow. You'll find life a lot easier when you learn to say please, Kit Kat. Phoebe scoffed, shaking her head.
The goddesses ruined a perfectly good asshole when they put teeth in your mouth, didn't they?
Tossing her curls over her face, the Dusk Dancer spun out into that sea of bodies, stomping all in time. She moved like a blade, the fire of her hair burning like the flames in the hearth. Some around the room stared at her with envy, with awe, with desire, but she noticed not at all. I'd wondered if the change to her eyes might be troubling her, but I realized she kept them hidden only to avoid trouble, not because she was ashamed of what she was. Truth was, you could probably buy all the fucks Phoebe Adunzair gave for the opinions of others with half a brass royale and have change left over. I swallowed the rest of my cup. The Gabriel de Leon I knew wouldn't have turned down a dance from a beautiful woman, Fiona murmured, and that was before he got excommunicated. I filled my cup with black again, sighing.
Heard about that, did you?
The old sword sister scoffed.
I own a pub. I've heard the songs. There's not a maid alive who doesn't swoon a little at the opening bars of The Lion's Lover, Gabe.
I scowled at the men in the corner, lips pressed thin. Fucking minstrels.
You can't blame them. It's the stuff legends are made of. A boy and girl so in love they defied the will of heaven itself.
Look how far it got them.
How are they? The Lion's Love. And his cub.
My eyes drifted up from my cup. My silence told the tale without me needing to speak a word. Fiona's face turned a lighter shade of pale, and for a moment I could see my pain reflected in her gaze, raw and bleeding. Her voice shook as she whispered,
"Oh, Gabby."
"I did what a hero was supposed to do, Fee. I killed the monster. But the monster had a father who loved it."
I shook my head and growled. Fucking minstrels.
This is no world for happy songs, Fiona said, but that's exactly why we sing them. There's a joy to be found in something so simple as moving in time.
I glanced at her sidelong. Are you asking me to dance now?
She crowed aloud, head thrown back.
With this hip? My dancing days are long past, old friend, but that's exactly my point.
She nodded to that flash of emerald and flame in the throng.
Enjoy the music while you can, Gabby. The way we're headed, tomorrow, the whole world might be silent as graves.
I sighed, meeting her eyes.
We need to be back on the road, quick as we can. If you know someplace we can get horsed, I'd be in your debt.
Anything for the Black Lion of Lawson, Fiona smiled. Now, go on with you.
I took up my cup, drained it to the dregs. Sharing an embrace that only those who'd fought through hell together can give, I kissed the old sword sister's cheek. And breathing deep, I walked through the whirling bodies and onto the floor.
May I?
Phoebe halted her swaying, turned to me with a scowl.
What's the magic word?
I bowed, hand to heart.
May I please have the honour of this dance?
Her eyes were mostly hidden behind the curtain of her curls, but I thought perhaps I caught a twinkle of mirth in the gold.
I suppose.
With another bow, I took Phoebe's gloved hand, and together we sailed into that ocean of rolling bodies. Her feet were still bare, and I'd no wish to tread on them, but I was surprised how quick we fell into step, moving as one through the smoke, the laughter, and shouts of joy, all of us stamping the beat. Through the burning veil of her hair, I saw her lips curl as my other hand pressed to the small of her back, drawing her a little closer. It seemed then that the music grew louder, the laughter about us to dim, until, even in the midst of that sea of people, the two of us were completely alone. The brutal history between our kinds faded a moment, the whispers of unholy magics and tales of slaughter swallowed by that beautiful song. The tune shifted faster, and we pressed closer, holding tight. A part of me still felt this some kind of treason, the troth ring on my finger cold and heavy. But the woman in my arms was warm and fierce, laughing as she twirled out from my embrace. The crescendo built, the room about us fading further, and for a brief and blessed moment, I forgot all. Who I was, and where I'd been, what I'd done and must do, caught up entirely in the spell. Phoebe spun away from me, and I drew her back, lowering her into a breathless dip as the song reached its close. The crowd cheered, the minstrels bowed, and the dusk dancer laughed in my arms, curls tumbling back from her face. It was a strange thing, but this close, I realized Phoebe's new eyes were not simply gold, but an alloy of precious metals. Bright platinum and burning bronze, and sharp silver, molten and wide and fixed on me. My gaze drifted from her feral smile, along her jaw, down the long, smooth plane of her throat. And there, I saw it, thudding, thumping beneath her tattooed skin. A vein. I felt my head snaking lower before I knew it, Phoebe's heart beating quicker as my breath tickled her throat. The thirst in me smashed itself against its bars, roaring, the blissful end of it all just one breath, one bite away. I wanted it. God, I wanted it more than anything before in my life, fangs grown long and hard, goosebumps prickling Phoebe's skin. Another song started. The spell between us broke. Phoebe and I straightened, stepped slowly apart, each watching the other. Her cheeks were flushed, eyes glittering like the heart of a forge. My heart was a wild thing, thrashing against my ribs. "The old dame was right," she breathed. "Ye can dance." "Perhaps," I swallowed, dust dry. "But I fear that was my last. I should abed." Her gaze sharpened at that, eyes roaming the tavern around us. "Probably for the best. Long road ahead." She curtsied, smooth and graceful, curls tumbling forward as she dipped her head. "Moon's blessing, Chevalier." I tore my eyes from the thudding vein in her throat, my skin damp with sweat. "God morrow, mademoiselle." And with the thirst inside me screaming, I near fled from the room.